Hey, buddy, welcome to Mat Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. And this is our Mat Men annual year-end award show. I was going to say Mat Men 2021 award show. I guess it is a 2021 award show. With me, as always, is the dude from the coolest library in town, Rich Stambolian.
Oh, yeah. I got books and books and books and books and games, but you can't come over and play.
Dude, you're into books?
I'm way into books. How about you? Are you?
Oh, man. Sometimes. Sometimes. What's you don't up? Want to know what the last thing I read was.
I actually kind of do.
Do you?
Yeah.
All Tomorrows.
I don't know what that is.
It is a bizarre book about humanity 1 billion years after, like in the future, where what happens is humanity splits and we go to Mars, and the Martians and the humans hate each other. After like hundreds of thousands of years, they have like no memory of anything, and they're like very distinctly different people. Yeah. And they start fighting. And this alien race called the Q shows up and obliterates, turns everything into like abnormal creatures. Like all humanity gets wiped out and they start relocating them to different planets. And that's what they do. They just mess with society and they just turn them into abominations.
You should read the Expanse books because that's pretty much the plot of the Expanse.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Six novels.
Yeah, someone told me.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm into weird stuff, dude.
Yeah,
into weird stuff.
I know. You got no pants on.
I got no pants on. That's it. Guys, this is a this is fun to do every year. MG Geek, producer, executive producer, editor, I guess show admin. He really puts this together every single year for us. So and he puts in a lot of effort in this. So big kudos to him. And also, this is community driven too. A lot of you guys voted in this. And I'm very curious about the picks, because some of them surprised me. Were you surprised by some of them?
You know, not yes and no. I think the thing that was such a shocker is, like, you know, whenever you put something like this online, everybody and their mother will turn around and definitely, I don't want to say gatekeep you, but they will definitely be like the guy who turned, or the guy or girl who turns around and goes, well, actually, and then name the most obscure wrestlers on the planet who had 10 star matches in like a Chili's bathroom or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this is nice and quick, and I think this is fun at the end of the year, and it brings up a lot of conversations and it kind of brings up the memory of what happened last year. We also, MG Geek is going to put together before the show our 2021 prediction list, so we could kind of compare and contrast what we did last week, what we predicted for 2022, and what we had predicted for 2021. You know, obviously, pandemic's still happening, so that kind of played a big part in all this. I don't think people expected the amount of releases that we got, so this is going to be fun to do on the show on Thursday. But, Rich, do you want to begin the awards?
Absolutely. At first, there's a little note up front. All the nominees were selected by a large set of handsome and sexy Mat Men contributors. Translation, it was MG Geek drunk in his underwear at 3 a.m.
That is 100% true, by the way. That's how this whole thing was put together.
All categories, titles are based on references from all the shows that we've done or watch along. So if you hear something a little oddball, that's pretty much like a self-referential thing that we're doing here. And again, thank you, MG Geek, for putting this together. Do you want to start right at the top from Twitter?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Twitter only lets you do four options on a poll. And what we did was we kind of put in parentheses, if your choice isn't on here, please respond with whoever you think it is. And that kind of led to some interesting choices. But starting off, we had Men's Wrestler of the Year. Roman Reigns came in at 48.9%, followed by Kenny Omega at 21.1%, Bryan Danielson at 23.8%, and Hangman at 6.2% out of 483 votes.
Yeah, so we had this, we had the poll up for a very short period. I think we did this yesterday or the day before, whatever it was. I found this interesting. First of all, Roman does not surprise me, but sometimes you, and this is interesting, right? Sometimes, like, we, and I say this all the time, I go, we're kind of in a vacuum on the, on Twitter, right? Like, it's our own community, and generally our following is very pro AEW, and you know, WWE gets a little bit more backlash than AEW does. I think that's kind of evening out now. People are kind of going, they're realizing, like, listen, a honeymoon's over, this is wrestling, we're kind of back into how it was. But I was a little surprised how dominating the Roman Reigns one was. This was my pick of Wrestler of the Year. because of the year he put in. Who was yours?
Honestly, like, I will say Roman, but close second Kenny. And the thing that didn't put Kenny way at the top was that they kind of dropped that belt collector thing. If they really, if they followed through with it to how like amazing and ridiculous it could be, he'd be number one. He's a close second, you know, don't get me wrong. But I think as far as like a character goes and storyline wise, I think Roman has had the, subjectively, he has had the better year as a character, as a fully realized character on television, you know?
Yeah, I listen, Kenny went through transitions this year as far as his character goes, which I thought was pretty cool also. We got to see him do a little bit of the Bockwinkel stuff. He went into a little bit more Flair stuff. He did the comedy stuff. He kind of went, and then he did the cleaner stuff a little bit. So he went in and out of all these different characters. You got to see the range of Kenny Omega, which I don't think a lot of people saw in previous years. But by the way, he came in third, because second was Bryan Danielson with 23.8% of the vote on Twitter. Right. Okay. I think this is a fair, you know, this was fair. Hangman Page got only 6.2%, but I mean, he's in there. We gave only four options. Two of them, three of them are considerably, possibly the three best wrestlers in the world right now. So Hangman kind of got the brunt of this on the Twitter poll. I don't think it's a representation really of what people think. If he, I don't think he, only 6.2% of people believe that he was the wrestler of the year. I think it's way more, but I think it is interesting. And by the way, Danielson, main event in WrestleMania, he, you know, huge moment at All Out, huge moment at Arthur Ashe, huge moment at the last show. I mean, he's had a breakout year top and to bottom.
Yeah. You know, like, I think perception has a lot to do with this. You know, I think the reason why Roman and Kenny for us are so close is because they actually had a full year on television, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I see it as well.
Right. 100%. Bryan Danielson. Yeah, Bryan Danielson. Him and CM Punk and Adam Page for sure had a lot of impact this year, right? But overall, like the arc of a year, it belongs to the two top two guys, you know? And there's like notable mentions, like a couple of people mentioned Shingo for carrying New Japan. But
I think any other year, dude, any other year. And I know you're a big Shingo fan. I think any other year, if we were not in a pandemic, none of that stuff, I think he would have had a tremendous year. Him and Ospreay would have dominated these polls.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, like, that's also the thing. Like, you know, we're looking at this, like, overall work rate and storyline and presentation. As much as we both love New Japan, I think you'll agree with me where that is where you go for work rate. You know, like, you're not going to be like, yo, check out that Shingo promo where they set up a storyline of him teaming up with like his tribal brothers.
Or,
you know what I mean? So like it's a little bit different. And we also had a lot of people mentioning Seth Rollins.
Yeah, we
did. How do you feel about that?
You know, he always works hard. I don't think if like for me personally, this version of him has not really clicked. I think the best version of Seth Rollins that we got was when he had both titles, when he had the US Championship and he had the WWE Championship. When he was doing like belt guy, like when he was, you know, just dominating as a heel, I thought he was such a strong character for them.
I think Seth, again, this is my own personal preference, and you might agree with me. I think Seth needs a little bit extra to get to that Roman level, and he's headed there.
Yeah.
You know, like he's been a project for many years in the company, and I think with a couple of more tweaks, he will be that permanent guy, you know, like that Roman character. You can do that healer face, and then once he makes that face turn, if they want him to turn face, it'll be the biggest thing in the company, right?
You know what's okay, here's a question for you, right? And we're you know, I'm having fun with this because some of this conversation is stuff that we've thought over the last year that we never got a chance to talk about on the air. You know, like bring up example the Messiah gimmick that he did, right? That Messiah character. Isn't like that and the tribal chief in comparison with each other a little bit?
I think that is that Vince McMahon mentality. And I'll give you four examples, right? Tribal chief, bigger than life. The Messiah, bigger than life. The Almighty, Bobby Lashley,
bigger than life.
The Beast Incarnate,
bigger than life.
And also several biblical references. So
tons.
you know, that kind of makes it really interesting, where it's like, I guess if you're positioned high in the company, you get some kind of like ridiculous moniker.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess you do. But I mean, like the tribal chief thing, right? He had his crew with him. He's dominant. He's almost like a preacher. They're worshiping him. He's almost godlike in a way. He's, you know, maybe that it's there is a direct comparison between the two characters. Just one handled it very, went in a very different direction. The other one became more of a comedic character. And I think that has more to do with the writing of these guys. I think I figured it out. I'm not a big fan of WWE comedy. I think that's my biggest problem with their booking.
It's not good. It's never been good. There are very rare occasions where it's been like funny. And you know what? I have this theory also, and I feel like a lot of people are going to get butthurt. Wrestlers aren't that funny. The wrestlers are not that funny. No,
you know what? I know some that are really funny, and they're never put on TV as funny.
I think the funniest stuff you get is behind the scenes stuff or like stuff on BTE. But I think personally, I don't find a lot of stuff that wrestlers do funny. You know what does it for me?
What?
Brandon Cutler with the cold spray.
Okay, that's funny. It's stupid funny. I get it.
I giggle so hard. But when WWE dumps like dog food onto somebody, or diarrhea, or slime, or goop, or whatever liquid of the week.
Crude oil. Funny. It could be crude oil.
It's not funny, you know?
Very, very interesting stuff. That was the Twitter Men's Wrestler of the Year. Let's do the Women's Wrestler of the Year. So this was the Twitter poll. Obviously, we only had four choices. MG Geek noted that he really wanted to add Deonna Purrazzo to this list because, you know, Becky really didn't wrestle this year, but, you know, she came in late August. So we haven't really seen Becky Lynch have much of a 2021, but he put Becky on the list. And guess what? Becky only got 10% of the vote. So you know what? Good on Twitter. By the way, 783 people voted on this very quick poll. Becky Lynch, 10% of the vote. How do you think Deonna would have done on this? Without revealing,
I think she would have done. Honestly, better than 10%. Yes, I think she would have done better than 10%. This poll was interesting because we almost got double the votes for this, and we also got like quadruple the feedback with names that were not on the list. But I don't think people read. You know, again, we put in parentheses, if you don't see your choice, please write it in. You know,
anyway, Deonna Purrazzo, we've been talking about. I actually see something very special with her.
Absolutely.
It could be like I don't know. I've always followed her career, and I felt that she's had a couple stops and starts, and I think WWE made a big mistake by not elevating her to some level. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they know something we don't know. I think she's very talented. I think she's done a tremendous job in Impact. I think we'll see more stuff from her this year. I'd love to see her in AEW, to be honest, to do something.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's going to happen.
I think so too. Becky Lynch, 10% of the vote. So here it gets very interesting. Here, did you want to do the write-ins, or do you want to go right into that poll?
Let's do the poll. So your winner out of Becky Lynch, Britt Baker, Sasha Banks, and Bianca Belair. Again, those are the only four that we could fit on Twitter. Britt Baker came in at 37.3%.
You know, I agree. Fascinating. I'm gonna tell you how I think. Dude, and I think you'll get it. I sometimes will overthink how I actually feel about a moment because I don't want to come off as being one-sided, right?
Agreed, yes.
I'm a big fan of Britt Baker's. I think she's fantastic. I think she's come a tremendous long way. But there is something to be said about the year that Bianca Belair had over Sasha Banks. I mean, Sasha, obviously, she's fantastic, and that's why she's on this list. But I don't know... I don't know how I feel about the poll. Like, if I had to pick, it's between Bianca Belair and Britt Baker, and I think they both had a tremendous, tremendous year. I think that blood match made Britt Baker for a lot of people.
You know, I agree with you 100% about the perception, you know, what you were just talking about with trying not to be like one-sided, right? I think we both look at this very objectively, and the reason Britt Baker does it for me was, you know what? It's not the bloody match. It's the fact that her promos have come such a long way over the course of the entire year. And she is the staple of that women's division. She elevated it. She has her henchmen. She has the Tony Schiavone thing.
Yeah.
I think it's very tongue-in-cheek and a lot of fun, you know? Bianca Belair, close second. But again, with the WWE, it's everything is written to a T, right? Britt Baker probably writes her own promos, maybe gets some help from like a couple of people backstage, whereas somebody would hand Bianca Belair a script for the most part, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And let me, I spoke to somebody there, right? A talent there over the weekend, just like a Happy New Year. And I actually brought that up to them and I was like, hey, I'm like, let me ask you, I'm like, do you think it's easier to read the script or do you think it's easier to like just do a promo at the top of your head? He goes, to be honest, I hate reading the scripts. It's so difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And the people that master it really are tremendous actors. So, which was interesting because a lot of people think that's a lot easier if someone's writing your material and you just go out there and read it, then come up with captivating material in your own head. I kind of see that. And I think to be able to go and do that and to be in that climate and be an actress more than anything else or an actor more than anything else, it's another element to becoming a wrestler that we really, you know, we haven't seen on this level. So who was your pick? Your pick was Britt, you said?
I'm going to go Britt. You know, like, again, there's a couple of other female wrestlers that I would have thrown into the comments personally.
Who'd you put in?
I would have put in Rhea Ripley and I would have put in Thunder Rosa over her. Because
yeah.
Thunder Rosa has come a long way.
Tremendous.
She's really cemented herself as part of that AEW roster. A lot of folks online, though, however, threw in Utami Hayashishida from Stardom.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, when this comes out, Wrestle Kingdom would be on the 7 nights of Wrestle Kingdom would be on the way.
And we're on night eight of Wrestle Kingdom.
We're on night eight. And I believe she did wrestle a match on the fifth. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. But, you know, she's 23. The Japanese stuff, as much as I love it, and I really do love it, my heart's in Japan, it's a work rate thing, not so much an overall promo character, etc. You know?
I'm sorry. I'm so distracted by Bobby Lashley right now, dude.
I thought you were going to say you're so distracted by Bob Rowe.
Bob Rowe? Bob Rowe's sitting here pointing a gun at me. Please. Go away. I had to divert here. He makes Big E look minuscule, this man.
He does.
He's not that much bigger than Big E.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Dude, that main event was fantastic last night. All right, sorry. We'll talk about it on Thursday. Britt Baker, winner. So Thunder Rosa, Shayna Baszler, Deonna Purrazzo, Tay Conti, and Jordynne Grace, another name on this list. I think 2022, Tay Conti is going to be much higher on this, and Thunder Rosa could possibly win it. I think those two have a lot of upside. Deonna Purrazzo as well, obviously.
Don't sleep on Penelope Ford.
Do not sleep on Penelope Ford. No, she's fantastic too. Rich and Andrews, best tag team of the year. So this was interesting. A lot of picks. And this, by the way, this poll next year is going to be so different.
Oh, for sure.
When the Briscoes are in the mix.
Yes.
You're gonna see a lot of changes here to the best tag team of the year. Very interesting. So here we go. Go ahead, Rich.
So the poll was Bucks, Lucha Brothers, Usos, and The New Day, with Lucha Brothers taking the lead. 35.5%. Pretty cool. I agree with that. I love the Lucha Bros. In second place, the Young Bucks, 28.1%. Third place, the Usos at 28.1%. A lot of love for the Usos. And the New Day, only at 8.3%. Now, again, we only have four slots on these Twitter polls. I feel like if we threw FTR on there instead of New Day, they may have won.
So I think we're doing a Twitter poll because MG had an issue with the form, right? I think that's
among
what he
all
said
his other issues.
Amongst all the other issues he has. So I hated this one.
Why?
I know why. I know because we have only four of them on the list. We had to kind of keep it even because I wanted to keep it even. I would have had FTR on this poll, and FTR would have been my pick for tag team of the year.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I have a very different, I see this very differently. I guess the Bucks are great. Listen, Lucha Bros have possibly had the best match of the year, one of the best match of the year contenders with that cage match.
Consistent, though.
What?
Consistently.
consistently they have best match, great matches. But the cage match we saw live in Chicago, that really, I mean, that was one of the best matches I've ever seen in person again. I mean, I've been saying that for a lot of these shows that I've been going to for AEW, but I mean, that's the reality of it. It was a fantastic tag team match, and it was in a cage, so it really sold it over the top. Usos had a breakout year. I can't believe that they, you know, by the way, we're still seeing the Usos in the New Day. Isn't that wild?
And you're absolutely right. On amazing matches.
You're absolutely right about how you've assessed this. This is their Cena and Orton taken to like a whole different level.
Absolutely.
New Day, 8.3% of the vote. It says, listen, I don't think there was a lot of emphasis on the New Day this year.
No. I think because WWE is doing something kind of interesting with them where it's like, yes, you're split up, but you're still together, which is great. It wasn't like a Shield split, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go into the Where's Denise biggest draw of the year. Now, this was on our form.
Yes.
MG Geek put a lot of work into this. Do you want me to read off the list?
Yeah, do it, man.
All right, man.
But read the criteria first.
Okay, criteria. Star power, promo ability, and do you bring eyes to your show? Okay, so you were able to choose three individuals from this. And here's the list. Roman Reigns, Kenny Omega, Jon Moxley, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, The New Day, Kofi and Xavier, Young Bucks, Sasha Banks, Naito, Okada, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, Orange Cassidy, Drew McIntyre, Big E, CM Punk, Danielson, Charlotte, Shingo Takagi, and Britt Baker.
Very interesting.
What do you think of the makeup of this?
You know what? This is accurate. This is completely accurate. I think, you know, you're going across all companies, you're hitting all the big names, you're hitting all the returns, you're hitting all the rising stars. Very solid. Good job, MG Geek. So we got 97 responses, close to 100 on this. And you have CM Punk as the biggest draw of the year.
Yes.
Oddly enough, close second, Roman Reigns.
Yeah, with 63%. So by the way, you could pick three, right? So it's your top. Mm. That's how we did this. Very interesting. So you had CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Kenny Omega, Brock Lesnar. I'm sorry. Let me do this again. CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Danielson, Brock Lesnar.
Mox.
Who else? Mox, 12%. Becky got 5. Bucks, 5. Sasha, Britt, 6.
Britt with 6.2.
Britt with 6.2. But the big story was, I mean, this is your top list. You know, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Kenny Omega, CM Punk, and Danielson. Those are the top four names right now happening. Who would you go with? I mean, listen, for me, I went with Roman Reigns.
You know, again, biggest draw. I will say that CM Punk, that's the third summer of Punk that we got. Pretty fantastic. You know, the weekend of August 20th, again, we were in Vegas. Great time. I'm biased because we had such a great time watching it on the West Coast. Boom. Love it. 3 hours earlier than here. I'm going to go with Punk on this just because, like, it's insane that this dude has been gone since 2014, right? It's 2021 when this guy comes back. We're entering 2022. People still want to see this guy. Has not wrestled. Had a couple of bungled UFC fights. He's been in a couple of movies. Has relatively stayed away from wrestling.
Yeah.
And you know what? People still want to see this guy. And I think that's a testament to him and the character. And a testament to his drawing power over Roman Reigns.
Well, for me, I went with Roman because he wrestled the whole year.
Right. But you know? This is draw of the year. Right now,
yeah, I don't listen. I think it's a very, very, very close. It's subjective. Yeah. It's also close. Like I really enjoyed the CM Punk stuff for sure. But for me, like my own personal criteria, I went with longevity also for the year.
So let me ask you.
Yeah.
Now, do you think if the rest of WWE programming was a dud, would Roman put asses in their seats compared to CM Punk? Because I do think if AEW was kind of a dud, Punk would fill that arena.
That's a great question. Yeah, I think Roman would be a big draw for sure if everything else was a dub, because, you know, for a couple months there really wasn't a lot of other programs happening and Roman was carrying the show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I that's a good question. I don't know.
I hit him hard.
Yeah, that's a good question. Next up, the Tony Soprano Tough Guy Award. Rich, what's the criteria for this?
The criteria for this award is the willingness to kill your opponent and hope like hell you die trying, as demonstrated within the year. Now, the brackets contained Jon Moxley, Eddie Kingston, Kevin Owens, Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, and Ilya Dragunov.
Okay, listen, first of all lunatics, all had a fantastic year, blood and guts, for right? Sure. For lack of a better term, John Moxley, hardcore style, Eddie Kingston, tough guy from Yonkers. Kevin Owens speaks for himself. Britt Baker had that unbelievable match with Thunder Rosa and Ilya Dragunov. One of the most underrated players in the last couple of years. Really impressive when you look at him. The winner is, and rightfully so, dude, Eddie Kingston.
Eddie Kingston, I think sorely missing from this list was Darby Allin. I feel like if Darby Allin was on this list, he would have eked out Eddie Kingston by maybe a lot, maybe a little, because the way that dude dives through the ropes off of anything is completely ridiculous. He's doing dives during pre-recorded vignettes.
Yeah. He's fallen out of helicopters with a bag over his head. Didn't they do that? Didn't he bury himself alive?
He buried himself alive. He's gotten taken to the ring in body bags. He's skated into like a battlefield. I don't know. I don't know what this guy does in his spare time.
He's fantastic, dude. He's fantastic.
So second was Moxley. After Kingston.
Which rightfully so. Moxley, you know, I think it would have been a different story if the explosion in that match went off.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we would have probably said like Jon Moxley has to win it because that match was nuts. By the way, match was fantastic.
Yeah.
I believe they're going to do it again. I'm hearing rumblings about it. Somebody said something to me. Little insight here. Next up, Rich's favorite, the I'm Aroused, best match of the year. The criteria, best work rate, the best story told, did it create online buzz? Now, there's a lot to pick from, obviously, and we can't have a list of like 500 things. MG Geek did a fantastic job at putting this together. Rich, you want to run down?
Yeah, absolutely. So the matches for the I'm Aroused best match of the year, Penta, El Zero Miedo, and Rey Fénix versus Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson at All Out, the cage match, which we were at, Adam Page versus Kenny Omega at Full Gear, Ilya Dragunov versus Walter, NXT TakeOver 36, Edge versus Seth Rollins at WWE Crown Jewel, surprisingly excellent match, Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega, Grand Slam, September 22nd, we were there. Will Ospreay versus Shingo Takagi, NJPW Wrestling Dontaku 2021.
We were there for that also.
We were there for that also. And we're also The Rock's cousin.
Yeah, we're also
Big E versus Drew McIntyre, John Morrison, Kevin Owens, Nakamura, Ricochet, Riddle, Seth Rollins, Money in the Bank, Ladder Match, 8-Way, July 18th. Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole, TakeOver, Stand and Deliver. Roman versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan has the distinction of being in a few of these, and for both companies, AEW and WWE. And Adam Page versus Bryan Danielson, Winter is Coming. Last and possibly best match of the year on 12/8/2021. One month prior to today.
Yes. Yeah. You know, a lot of fantastic matches. So this is where MG, I think this was a segment, the one that he got confused with the winners.
Yes.
So luckily, thank God we got to record this. The winner, Danielson and Page, with 45% of the vote. Now, this is interesting because, you know, there were a ton of great matches. And for me personally, I love this match. It was a great match. I also very, very much like the Penta, Rey Fénix, and the Bucks match.
Yeah.
Adam Page and Kenny Omega was also another one. Dragunov and Walter was fantastic. Ospreay Shingo, I would put in that. It's to me, it's all a toss up, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
When you're, and I think, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, it's all subjective. You say that all the time. But Danielson and Page won. Now, do you think that was a pick? That was a good one?
I'm a little biased because I believe I said that on the show a couple of weeks ago. I think for me that was match of the year.
Very cool.
That hour-long Broadway.
Yeah. You know, some people say that the match we saw a couple of weeks ago was better. I think in the right state of mind, depending on how you're watching it, it could be better. Like I thought, I may flip flop on this because it's all subjective. It's all how you feel. I thought the second match was better than the first. I enjoyed the second match better than the first. But
yesterday, from this past week,
this past Wednesday, yeah, because the reason for me, which we're going to probably talk about on the show, obviously when we record the show, for me was that I was in a different state of mind watching, and I watched that 60-minute match after it was live. I didn't watch it.
Got it.
So my perception is off. So I'm not really going to count that. But listen, these are all fantastic picks. But three of them AEW matches. What does that say?
Work rate, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all work rate. But, you know, like the WWE nods on this were very solid matches from the past year. And they were great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they were fantastic. Let's see. What else do we have? Do we do the runner-ups? Who do we have?
The runner-ups for this are Penta and Phoenix versus Matt and Nick in the cage match, which was unbelievable. And the second runner-up, Danielson versus Omega. So Bryan Danielson, winner and second runner-up. Pretty nice.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Is he the best in the world at this
point? I think so. No, I've said that for... I mean, listen, depending on who you ask, depending on when, but I think he's the guy right now. I don't think anybody's having the work rate that he has at this current moment in pro wrestling. You know, he's doing some tremendous stuff, and it's cool to see because this man's career was over.
I'm going to give you three matches.
Okay, give me.
Which one would do it for you the most?
Okay, I'm going to close my eyes.
You ready?
Yeah.
Danielson Shingo.
Okay.
Danielson Ospreay. Mm-hmm. Danielson Okada.
Danielson Okada.
Number one, right?
But do you know what I want to see? Do you know what I want to see the most?
Danielson Ibushi.
Danielson Ospreay.
Yes.
I want to see that, but I think if we were to have to pick one, it would have to be Okada because you know that they're both going to turn it to like 5 million in that match. Ospreay too. I think all those matches would be fantastic. But I think, you know, if you have an opportunity to do one of those, it has to be Okada.
Yeah.
All right. Habibi's Harem, next award, the best women's match of the year. Criteria, obviously, best work rate, best told story in the ring, and did it create buzz? Rich?
So we had Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks, WrestleMania 37, night one. Thunder Rosa versus Dr. Britt Baker in the Lights Out Unsanctioned match from March 11th. Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb. Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Kaylee Ray, and Cora Jade versus Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolan, JC Jane, and Dakota Kai at War Games. Layla Hirsch versus Camille at NWA Empower, August 28th. Kaylee Ray versus Miyako Satomura, and Raquel Gonzalez versus Io Shirai. With an overwhelming number of votes, Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker in the Lights Out match with 61.9% of the votes.
Yeah, that match was unexpected, and think about it this way, right? This match happened in front of nobody.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it had happened in front of a packed crowd a couple months later, I think the conversation would be even more unanimous because you would have had the interaction from the crowd. This was a defining moment for Britt Baker. I don't know if that's like, I don't mean it in like a negative way, right? I mean it in a positive way. This was a defining moment for her because that is a bonkers photo, you know, where she's just covered in blood. And helps sell the match. You know, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks at WrestleMania, fantastic. That was another fantastic match.
Absolutely. I think, again, with the subjectivity of what we're talking about, you know, it's kind of clear to see why the AEW match won over. It's because that roster is still really, really fighting to get on top, to get TV time, to get very established, whereas the WWE women's roster has been extremely established over the last few years.
Yeah. And then what was the second runner-up?
The second runner-up was Bianca Belair versus Sasha, 29.9% of the votes.
No, that's the first runner-up.
First runner-up, second runner-up, Kaylee Ray versus Miyako Satomura. Great match.
Yeah, fantastic match. I just watched that match. I hadn't seen it.
It's a good one.
All right, what's the next category here?
Next category here is we lost MG Geek. Holy shit, moment of the year.
The criteria
made you yell out loud because it was the last thing you thought was happening. Do you want to go through these?
Yeah, so we got CM Punk showing up on AEW for the first time on Rampage in a sold-out Chicago United Center. We got Bryan Danielson coming out at the end of All Out. Big E winning the title. Brock Lesnar returning at SummerSlam. Bianca Belair winning the title at Mania while fighting back tears. Rey Fénix diving off the cage at All Out. I got to tell you, we were there for Brock Lesnar showing up. And like the building went bonkers. Actually, didn't I post that video and it got like hundreds of thousands of shares?
Yeah, I think it got like 500,000 shares.
Did it really? I got to check on that. I got to see like what happened with that video. That was a big moment, but I feel like CM Punk showing up was so much more of an online buzz. Because, you know, 7 years you got, and obviously rightfully so, unanimously, 68% CM Punk wins in the holy shit moment. Second place, not even close, Bryan Danielson, and second runner-up, third place, Rey Fénix diving off the cage. You know, these were big moments.
Honorable mention for me, CM Punk showing up in Sting makeup.
I know, you love that. You called it. You saw it. You know,
I called it. I saw the future.
I'm watching. I got Rampage on while this is being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Kingston is just brutalizing this man with a trash can.
It's very good. Is that all we have to re-record? Or
No. We still got some more. We got a whole bunch more, I believe.
Do we?
Yep, we got a whole bunch more. Let's just go down this list.
Wow, all right.
What do you mean there's no Ubers? The worst segment moment of the year. This is in reference to us getting stuck after Chicago, and we realized that the 3 mile walk was more like a 5 hour walk because you have to go over the highway, and we were rescued by two brothers and then Tony.
Yeah, I was rescued by Tony Leader. Also, shout out to Brian Rose, who was also very concerned about our well-being.
Brian Rose was like, very concerned for our well-being.
I think all the F4W guys were like, we just got them. We can't lose these guys. We can't lose these guys yet.
Yeah, big shout out to Brian and Jeff also that helped us out. Good dudes. These are interesting picks, right? So we got The Miz winning the WWE title, Nia Jax screaming "My hole." I thought that was a funny segment. I don't think that was the worst. I thought that was stupid funny.
Alexa Bliss
and the Lily tormenting Shayna Baszler in front of the mirror. I thought that was stupid. Chris Jericho falling off the cage on the soft mat, the exploding match, and Alexa bleeding black goo at WrestleMania Night 2. The winner, I think we could agree on this, which was a dud, the exploding barbed wire match. Now, the match was not the problem. The match was great.
Oh, yeah.
The explosion was the problem.
I'll give it a pass.
You give it a pass? Okay.
I'll give it a pass. Runner, you know, because, like, stuff like that, you can't really plan for, right?
Yeah. The runner-up, Alexa Bliss and Lily, which that's all the Alexa Bliss stuff was top for me. I thought...
Yeah.
They had a moment that it was cool, and then they just, like, killed it with the stupid doll.
You know, there may be an audience that really enjoyed that. You know, maybe they were reaching too hard for that kid demographic.
My kids loved it. My daughter loved it. My daughter loved the whole doll thing. Here we go. The best feud of the year, Andrew versus the Persian Potato. Criteria. The feud created intrigue and drew ratings over an extended period of time. Here we go. We got Adam Page and Kenny Omega. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. Edge, Seth Rollins. Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair. Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker. Roman Reigns, John Cena. And Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. Who takes this?
Number one, 61.9% of the vote. Hangman Adam Page versus Kenneth Omega.
Yes. Fantastic match. I think that was the feud of the year. But, you know, big, if you're talking about, you know, long-term booking, maybe Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, because this thing's been going on forever. Second runner-up, Edge, Seth Rollins. I think Edge and Seth Rollins had such low expectations. I don't know why. I have no idea why. And all you saw was people were like poo-pooing on this concept.
Yes.
I thought they had fantastic matches one after another. And I think that cage match that they had in Saudi Arabia was unbelievable.
It was pretty great. I mean, Edge coming back after so long, and as old as he is, he looks gnarly. He's really sharpened those acting skills and employed them in whatever he's doing for WWE. And listen, man, I think you will both agree, you want to see that guy with the belt one more time, right?
Edge, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. For sure. The Joel Pearl breakout star. Now, he is a breakout star. He's a new friend of ours over the last year. We've been harassing him online.
Well, to be fair, he has been harassing us.
He has been harassing us, unbelievably. Borderline bullying
very
tactics.
He's very dirty, too.
Dirty, Joel Dirty Pearl.
Yeah, the Pearlvert.
The Pearlvert. Yeah, he is a Pearlvert. Joel Pearlvert. I like that. I'm keeping that in the banks. Braun Breaker, Wheeler Yoda, as I call him. Tay Conti, Bad Bunny, Cora Jade, Liv Morgan, Hook, Damian Priest, Miro, Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara, Jade Cargill, and Grayson Waller.
Come on now. You know who took this, even without looking at this.
Listen, I don't think this is a fair pick. Hook is the winner.
Over. The kid's over.
The kid's over, man. Listen, I get it. But I would definitely have to say it was Braun Breaker for me as a breakout star. Mm-hmm. And actually, no, I'm taking that back. I'm going to say it's Jungle Boy, breakout star of the year. Jungle Boy and Sammy. Those are the two, and Braun Breaker. That's my top three.
It's interesting with those top three. Their promo skills need work, right?
Yeah.
Give them a couple more years for those promos, and then I think we're going to get something pretty cool.
Interesting list, though, dude. Look at, like, Damian Priest, I can't put in a breakout star. This dude's been doing this forever. He's fantastic. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. The promo skills are off. I think Braun Breaker, I mean, listen, next 2022 is going to be the story of Braun Breaker, right?
I think so. Braun versus Brock, right?
Dude, you got to do it. The Treehouse Vince Return of the Year. CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole in AEW, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Ruby Soho, and LA Knight. Unanimously, 84%. 84.5% of the vote goes to CM Punk.
Of course.
Danielson, runner-up. Adam Cole, second runner-up. And we got the... my favorite one. Scoop Zarian, the most impactful story of the year. There was a lot of big moments this year in wrestling. And I think,
huge.
And it wasn't and we could always go into this in detail, but it wasn't always, like, these things that happened are going to be the story of the next 5 years, right? Like, that's how I see it. WWE moving to Peacock in the United States. Nick Khan taking over as CEO for WWE in late 2020, making several corporate changes. AEW Dynamite moving to TBS in 2022. NXT moves to Tuesdays, ending the war with Dynamite. WWE releases over 80 wrestlers in 2021. NXT 2.0 launches. I would add Hunter's health issues to this.
Okay.
CM Punk signs with AEW. Danielson signs with AEW. Ring of Honor releases talent and suspends operations until spring 2022. And WWE announces the NIL program after signing Olympic champion Gable Steveson. So the winner here is CM Punk signing with AEW, obviously, right?
Right.
That's the big general big story. The second runner-up is WWE releasing 80 wrestlers. Runner-up is WWE releasing. Second runner-up is Nick Khan taking over as CEO. You know, depending on the next couple of years, the most impactful thing will probably be Nick Khan taking over as CEO for WWE.
I agree with that. This was an interesting list, too, because it kind of crossed over besides your common fare of wrestlers jumping ship and signing with other companies. I am still very surprised at the Ring of Honor thing. You know, Ring of Honor shutting down after so long and kind of suspending operations. That's pretty impactful.
They may have a moment right now if they were to play their cards right and get some funding and Sinclair could dump some money in it. You know, there is room for a third and fourth promotion, shockingly.
I think so. I definitely think so. It's funny, like, the chatter online is having Triple H start a fantasy promotion.
Oh my God, I know. A lot of people think that's going to happen. Do you know the impossibility? Most likely, this man has probably signed his life away in non-disclosures and non-competes, and he's privy yeah. to all this special information that nobody else would have access to.
Oh my God, he knows how the sausages are made.
Somebody sent me a message. They're like, my prediction is Shane and Triple H start their own promotion.
Impossible.
I'm like, that would never happen. That could never happen. I don't think they would even want to do that ever.
Right.
And why would they?
Right.
Like, why would they do that? Like, they're related, first of all. Like, that's your father. That's your father-in-law. Mm-hmm. That's your wife. Like, what? What are we doing? Do people not, like, know how life works? I know it's like a fantasy. People want it, but it's nutty to me. Nutty to me.
Well,
but
everybody likes to play armchair booker and armchair quarterback. Everybody loves to play Dirt Sheet Dan.
Dirt Sheet Dan. Listen, that's the thing we're going to continue. You're going to hear a lot about Dirt Sheet Dan's here. But the other thing is the NIL program. This is huge. This is a first. This is a major, major deal for people that understand how sports goes and recruiting works. This is a major change in the way that sporting has been going on. And this allows them to start working with college athletes, collegiate, you know, NCAA level athletes early on and prepare them for their company. They are now actively in the college recruitment phase in developmental, which,
oh, for sure.
You know, I was explained a lot of this information by somebody that's involved in this. And I saw this as such a positive.
Oh yeah.
Like I saw this as a huge positive that they are actively recruiting athletes out of college and prepping them. Listen, the diehard wrestling fan in me, you know, we all like to see our indie favorites become big stars, but the reality is WWE is not going in that direction. They've said it multiple times that you know, if there is a great star in the independents, obviously they're going to grab them. They're not abandoning it, but this is their process now. This is what they want. They want real deal athletes. This will be a big story over the next couple of years, and maybe next year that's the big story. That's the most impactful story.
Yeah, if they play their cards right, you know, like they want these big, athletic, trainable, and coachable people that they can turn into whatever they want. And also, by doing that, you're turning them into people that not only the company wants, but people who won't want to leave.
Yeah, absolutely. What do we have here? Scoop Zarian, most impactful story of the year. This is interesting. So, let's go down this. WWE moving to Peacock in the U.S., WWE Network. Nick Khan took over as CEO in late 2020, making several corporate changes. AEW Dynamite moving to TBS in 2022. NXT moving to Tuesdays, ending the war with Dynamite. WWE releases over 80 wrestlers in 2021. NXT 2.0 launched. CM Punk signs with AEW. Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, signs with AEW. ROH releases all the talent and suspends operation until spring 2022. And WWE announces the NIL program after signing Olympic champion Gable Steveson.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm going to tell you, like, this list to me, I see things a little bit differently.
Okay.
You tell me what your picks are.
Oh boy, there's a lot on this list. I would say top three for me would be Punk coming back to wrestling, which is pretty impactful. Danielson moving to AEW, also pretty impactful, at least like from a fan's perspective, which I think is pretty cool. I think also my weird third pick is the surprise of Ring of Honor kind of closing its doors temporarily.
Yeah, that is a big surprise. I'm going to go with the first one. I would go with Nick Khan. That's my main one.
Okay.
Because this is going to shift the entire company, you know? And we're already seeing the changes like the NIL program. This is something that's going to be a big recruitment piece for them as far as the company goes. So I think these two moves, especially the Nick Khan thing, is going to really change the trajectory of WWE over the next, you know, X amount of years. I think we're in a very different company now. For obviously CM Punk signing was a tremendous, tremendous story. You know, that it's the Nick Khan stuff is more long term, but I would say if you're looking for like a wow moment, CM Punk definitely, Danielson, that those two acquisitions are big, and also the releases, because this changed the landscape for both companies with the releases. because now you have all this talent that you would not have imagined. I think the big story here was that Braun Strowman got released and Bray Wyatt got released. These were the two big ones that shocked me more than Danielson or Adam Cole or anybody, because, you know, those two, they invested so much effort and money into creating those guys, especially Bray Wyatt.
I agree with that. It's, I feel like that's such like a, it's a mystery at this point, right? It's like wrestling's untold mysteries. Like, are we going to find out anything? Is he going to show up? Is he going to show up when they move to TBS?
Yeah, we'll find out.
You know, he's one of those guys. I mentioned this last week. Bray Wyatt's a guy I care about as a fan, you know, as a person too. I hope all these guys do well. But as a fan, he's a guy I care about, right?
Yeah.
We talked about last week how as big as Braun Strowman was in WWE, he's a guy I don't really care about. You know, like I'm not thirsty to see Braun Strowman on television.
I'm not either. But you know what? You know who is? Kids.
Do you think kids they have
love
that?
Them. They freaking love him.
See, I'll disagree with kids having that long-term memory to remember this guy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think kids are like, Dad, where's
Braun Strowman?
No, I'm saying
like when he's on TV, though. No, yeah, when he's on TV. People
when he's on TV.
Him.
Yes.
So we had, so this is a very interesting list, right? You got Nia, yeah. Alexa, Baron Corbin, The Miz, Karrion Kross, Keith Lee, and Braun Strowman. This now, the dummy squad loser of the year, it has to go with the awards. With placement. Not necessarily them, but how they were presented on TV.
I think, yeah, the wording of this is a little mean-spirited, but I agree with you. This should be like your placement on the card and your placement as perception to the fans, right?
Yeah.
Overall, Karrion Kross with 33%. I agree with that, man. This guy was the bomb in NXT. Yeah.
And he came out looking like, I don't know.
Move this guy to the main roster in typical WWE fashion. They strap him into like a weird gimpy goblin suit. And then they were like, have at it. And then they tell us, hey, it's a slow burn. And then they go, you know what? We're just going to fire this guy.
Yeah.
He'll be back, though.
Who? Karrion Kross? I don't know where he's going to end up, to be honest. So Karrion Kross, 33% of the vote. I would definitely put Keith Lee as a close second with how do you botch a guy like that? How do you screw him up? Braun Strowman, they didn't do much. Baron Corbin recovered. I don't think he should be on this list. I think he did great with his loser Coburn gimmick. Nia Jax didn't do anything. Alexa Bliss, that we had the terrible stuff. And then The Miz is The Miz.
Yeah, The Miz is always The Miz, man. Like, tried and true, good or bad, The Miz will always be The Miz.
And our last category here, worst match of the year.
Oh, boy.
This goes to John Morrison versus Damian Priest, the zombie lumberjack match, WrestleMania Backlash. Oh, yeah, we had two WrestleMania. We had WrestleMania and we had WrestleMania Backlash. That was so stupid. You know what? That should have been on the dummy list. What a bad marketing name. Britt Baker and Rebel versus Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero. This was not a good match. Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt, WrestleMania Night 2. Hey, it was too short. I don't know how terrible of a match it was. Toru Yano versus the great Ocon. Toru Yano.
Toru Yano. so much sociology.
Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie at SummerSlam. Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg at SummerSlam. Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair at SummerSlam.
With an overwhelming 42.3% of the vote, it's Morrison versus Damian Priest. Zombie lumberjack match. You know what? I liked it.
I got why they did it. I thought it was a ridiculous match.
Out of a lot of the stuff that was on that card, that one stands out to me the most. And I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I remember going on social media and being like, yo, it's wrestling. Who cares? Why are people complaining? Yeah. It's zombies, man. This is nuts. This guy's trying to parkour over zombies. A lot of fun. You know, like, again, when WWE does comedy, it's not good. But when they do weird shit, it's more often good than not.
Yeah.
What do you think, man? What do you think should have been on this list?
On the worst match list? You know, like, I get why Britt Baker and Rebel versus Nyla and Vicky were on there. It wasn't great. Alexa Bliss, Eva Marie was terrible. That would be my pick. Lashley Goldberg was whatever. Didn't really it was okay. I think they made up for it at that Saudi show.
Mm-hmm.
At Crown Jewel. I think Goldberg had the best match of his career, possibly.
I agree with that. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. No. I'm being very serious. I think the other. I mean, there's a couple of memorable ones. The Hogan one was fantastic. The Steiner one in 2000 mm-hmm. was fantastic. And this was great. I loved it. I loved this match that he had at Crown Jewel.
I agree with you. Isn't it nuts? Like, we both are on the same page with that. I watched that match and was like, I wished I had popcorn.
I wish I had popcorn too. Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is great, man. look at Goldberg. He shouldn't be on that cage.
Unbelievable. Come on, get down from that cage, Goldberg. But they had a great match. So I think this is it. I think that was the last one for the list.
What was your favorite moment of the year?
For me personally, going to Chicago. That was definitely my moment of the year.
Same here, dude. That was so much fun.
That weekend was fun. Seeing everybody was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas was a lot of fun too, but I felt that Chicago was a little bit more chill.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't like, we got to do this, we got to do that. I think it was like, okay, this is a lot of fun. Even though we did shows from the hotel room.
Yeah.
I would say that would have been it. And probably, let me think. And obviously, going to Grand Slam. That was another great moment.
Oh, that was fantastic. It was nice seeing the stadium. Yeah, we did. I'll agree with you. Chicago number one for me. That was such a great trip, and it was such a great time with everybody, you know, and we got to meet Mr. Gonzo face to face and Treehouse Vince.
Yeah.
And Denise.
I had met him. I had met Treehouse before.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I hadn't. But that was like family fun. It was the Mattman family.
It was the Mattman
family. And the FRW family too. We got to meet all the FRW people.
I think that's it. I think that's the is there anything you want to add? Memorable moment?
I think Hangman winning the title really did it for me.
Hangman, you know, winning the title. Yeah. Because you've been a big Hangman guy.
Oh, I've been a Hangman guy since New Japan.
Yeah.
So for me, that was like really cool. Like, oh shit, he did it. And it was like an emotional moment. Daniel Bryan turning heel and having like just going through the Dark Order, you know, but also this is like stuff that's in recent memory. I can't tell you what happened like a year ago, you know?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I thought it was a really good year. I think 2022 will be a better year. We're going to see a lot more surprises in 2022. I think people are going to be very surprised by certain things that I'm hearing,
mm-hmm.
which I think will happen.
Oh, you know what? You know what I'm going to throw on that list?
Yeah.
The video clip of Tanahashi that they aired on AEW.
Oh my God, that video clip. Yeah, add that to the list.
That's awesome.
Add that to it. Oh my God. Fantastic, though. Good stuff. Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Guys, that's it for this week. This was the award show. Thank you to MG Geek for putting this together. I know it takes a lot of effort, a lot of time to do this. So big kudos to him. Every year we're going to do this. It's going to get bigger every year, obviously. Next year we'll be in full tuxedos.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be presenting. So we'll do a whole green screen. It'll be like the night at the Academy.
Very nice. We'll do it live. We should do it live.
We should do it live next year. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you all next time. Take care.